This afternoon, the Lord speaks to us in the fifth commandment. You remember, Levi, what commandment that is? Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long and it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. That's the fifth commandment. And we have a summary of the Bible's teaching on that in Lord's Day 39 of the Heidelberg Catechism, page 891. You can follow along on the screen or in your books, 891. What is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? That I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and all those in authority over me, submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline, and also that I be patient with their failings, for by their hand God wills to rule us. And then let's turn to Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 9. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 9, page 1162. Addressing the various relationships of authority, first in marriage in chapter 5, wives and husbands, and then children and parents, bondservants and masters in chapter 6. Let's read verses 1 through 9 of Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. This is God's word, and may he bless it to our hearts and lives. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, is the first commandment with a promise. The second commandment at its end sounds more like a promise, but it's a sanction. This is just a promise. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 6. It's the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. You've heard that things go better with Coke. But if you really want to live well, the thing to do is, well, what is the thing to do? If you really want to live well, The thing for all of us to do, not just the kids, is honor authority, whatever authorities God has put in place over our lives. That's totally countercultural, like the other commandments. Totally against the way of thinking in our secular world. Honor authority. That's God's key to living well. And ultimately, only Christ can give you that key, because he honored and obeyed his Father like no one ever has. And united to him, that's the spirit he will give to you, because by nature we're rebels. And we think the key to living well is to throw off authority. Then you're free. Oh, no, you're not. Then you're in bondage. So believe it or not, that's the key to healthy living. Obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and your mother and all those in authority over you. This is a commandment, first, that matters. Secondly, it's a commandment that has limits. And thirdly, a commandment that holds promise. First, it's a commandment that matters, of course. All the commandments matter because they come from God. But it matters in a special way. This commandment is foundational to loving your neighbor. Without honoring your father and your mother, you will never learn to love your neighbor. Remember that Jesus said that the commandments of God can be summarized in two great commandments. You shall love the Lord your God, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And second, loving your neighbor as yourself. And these are the two tables of the law. And the first table of the law, the foundation, is the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. That's really the foundation for all obedience, all the commandments. But the second table of the law, dealing with our relationship with our neighbor, begins with the fifth commandment. That's the foundation for the second table of the law. Honor your father and your mother. If that relationship isn't right, the whole rest of your life will go badly. All the rest of your relationships cannot flourish. Every other relationship will be in trouble if you do not honor your father and your mother. It's foundational to family, to work, to religion, and to all society. And without it, law and order break down. It can't go well for you if you are anti-authority. Life can't go well for you if you don't learn how to honor, obey, and respect rules and structures and people put in place for peace and order and safety and growth. The apostles, though at times had to disobey authority for the sake of God, always honored authority for God's sake. Kevin DeYoung, in his book on the Ten Commandments, writes, "The parental relationship is the first and most important relationship. It shapes all other relationships. In this relationship with our parents, we learn what it is to have someone in authority over us. We learn what it is to listen to people, to honor them, and to do things that we sometimes don't want to do. This is where we learn to live with other people. This is where we learn to live with our future spouse. This is where we learn how to work for an employer, how to obey a teacher." Quoting him again, "This is where we learn to live with other people. This is where we learn that there are authority structures in the world. The family is where we learn about respect and obedience, and hopefully, if it is a good family, about love and protection." It matters. It's foundational. As a seminarian, I was assigned to observe a classes meeting And so there I was sitting in one of the pews in the church building where classes was held, and a pastor, age 35 or so, issued a proposal. His proposal failed, and he blew a gasket. He got really mad. He shot off his mouth at the delegates, and he walked out. And a lady sitting in the pew behind me, I didn't know her, reached forward, and she said to me, "Do you know what that guy's problem is?" I said, "No." "He needed more spankings as a kid." Well, I don't know the accuracy of her diagnosis in that situation, but I do know that if we as parents are lenient toward our children's disrespectful and self-willed behaviors while they're young, when they're older, they will not depart from it. Poor pity the spouse that has to live with such a kid when he grows up. When she grows up. Poor pity the classroom that has to endure, the workplace that has to endure, the society that has to endure, such people. God help us. Honor your father and your mother is a commandment that truly matters, not only for societal life, but for your spiritual life too. Learning respect for parental authority is the incubator for developing respect for God's authority. Ultimately, that's what we want, don't we, as parents, that as our children learn to listen to us and to be in submission in the home, they not only learn how to live with other people, they also learn how to obey the Lord God. We can't make that happen. That requires the work of the Holy Spirit giving the gift of faith. But that's how the Lord works. So it's important for our spiritual life and important for our social life with our neighbor, whether that neighbor is your parents, spouse, employer, teacher, elder, deacon, government. How we function in all the spheres of life is so much set by how we function at home, how we honor and obey our moms and dads. Honor is the word used in this commandment. For the children, that means children obey your parents in the Lord, or children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In Colossians 3, children obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Those are the two reasons given. It pleases the Lord. It's right. Doesn't make it always easy, especially as we grow older and we're moving toward independence. And then that friction between moving on with our lives to honor our parents in a new way, that can happen. But that's why the word is honor. Because as we grow up, the honor, which is primarily seen in obedience when we're young, turns into loyalty and love in new ways as we grow older. Honor means that we treat our parents with esteem, dignity, and respect, that we speak kindly to them, are thankful for them and to them, love them and pray for them. You get to be 13, 14, 15, 16, you see your parents' failings and weaknesses more clearly. But it remains God's commandment anyway. It doesn't say honor them if they're perfect or honor them if you agree with them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There are limits to that. We'll look at that in a moment, Lord willing, but as you get older, the relationship changes, but the call to honor remains the same. There's a story from Grimm's Fairy Tales written in the early 1800s. An old man was having trouble seeing. His hands were trembling, and he moved in with his son and daughter-in-law. The daughter-in-law wasn't thrilled with the arrangements, but she consented. But she got so irritated by the way he clinked his silverware and sloshed his drinks at the dinner table And it was more than she could bear. And finally, in anger and frustration, she made him eat alone in the corner, separated from the rest of the family. And so he ate alone, looking wistfully at the rest of the family at the table. One day, his hands were shaking so much that he knocked his bowl on the floor and got her new carpet dirty. She exploded. "That does it. You want to eat like a pig? I'll feed you like a pig." And she made a wooden trough, put it on the floor, and made him eat his meals out of that. Sometime later, her little boy came in the house, all excited about something he made. "Mom, come out and see what I made." "What is it?" she asked. "I made a trough to feed you and Daddy out of when I get big." She began to sob uncontrollably. And from that day on, Grandpa ate at the table with the rest. And it didn't matter how much he sloshed and spilled. She was sorry for the sin of dishonoring her father-in-law, and did everything she could to make up for the horrible way she treated him. It's an important story, early 1800s, and really important for today, because the elderly are severely dishonored in our culture in so many ways by the younger generations. In earlier times and in other cultures, age required respect. "Rise in the presence of the aged," says the book of Leviticus. It was God's law for Israel. Rise in the presence of the aged. Well, I don't think I'm that old guy yet, but just look for an old person here, and next time they walk by you, make sure you stand up. At least treat them that way. But in our culture, age means you have to get out of the way. Your time for being wise is over. We're going to put you on the shelf. Oh, may we show honor to our parents when they're old, for this pleases the Lord. That was Jesus' last act for his death. He honored his widowed mother as the firstborn son, gave her to the care of John. "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." One of his last acts before his death on the cross is to care for his mom. Well, brothers and sisters, here's good news for rebel hearts like yours and mine, for wayward children. Learn from the parable of the prodigal son. If you repent of your waywardness and rebellion against your dad, whether it's your heavenly father or your father on earth or your mother, or those in authority over you, return to the Lord and he will receive you with open arms and just total embrace as a member of his family. The scandal of the parable of the prodigal son was that kind of behavior would require the death penalty in Israel. And God takes that repentant sinner back. Jesus died for rebels. The Jewish Sanhedrin charged him with sin against the first table of the law, blasphemy. The Roman court charged him with sin against the second table of the law, sedition, rebellion against authority. These are our sins, and Jesus made them his own to save us and to give us a new heart, a new way. This commandment, secondly, has limits. Human authority to parents, government, church, employer, teacher always has its limits, because every authority is subject to the ultimate authority of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is Lord and ruler of our lives, and we must be willing for his sake to put his commands before father, mother, pastor, governor, teacher, even if that costs us a beating or imprisonment, job loss or demotion, being removed from your parents' will. This is known as the rule of Acts 5:29. The rule of Acts 5:29, you know what that is? The apostles say to the Sanhedrin, we must obey God rather than men. Because the Sanhedrin said to the apostles, you may no longer speak in the name of Jesus. Jesus told them to speak in the name of Jesus. So when those two authorities clash between the ultimate authority of Jesus and the lower authorities he has put in place, that's where, for God's sake, we must respectfully, humbly disobey man in order to obey God. We see that in all those relationships found in Ephesians 5 and 6 and Colossians 3. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey even if you don't like what they say. Because anarchy in the home is a terrible atmosphere to endure. It's destructive. But if parents tell you to do what God forbids, or they forbid or try to prevent you from doing what God commands, you must respectfully refuse. Because you are to obey your parents in the Lord. The Lord comes first. Some children face terrible situations and they need encouragement to follow the Lord Jesus. Parents, don't cause your children to stumble. Jesus promises us a millstone if we do. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. There's another authority structure that God has appointed. But wives, don't use submission as a reason to follow a husband into doing evil or to cover up his crimes. Then you're putting him before the Lord. Ephesians 6 again. Servants, obey your earthly masters with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Obey your masters with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Do what the boss says, without attitude, humbly. But be clear that serving Christ always comes first with you, and you will not be unethical just to please your boss or to make the company rich. Obey your leaders in the church too, but humbly resist when they follow the way of error. There's a way of doing this, says the Bible in 1 Timothy 5. Don't admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all so that the rest may stand in fear. There are limits to the authority of the church. The Acts 5:29 rule, we must obey God rather than men, also comes into play when obeying the civil government. The Bible says in 1 Peter, fear God, honor the king. The king wasn't so nice in the day when Peter wrote that. Paul in Romans 13, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and those that have been instituted or that exist have been instituted by God. Whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. So, about the masks. I don't want to touch this. You don't want me to touch this. But it's in front of us. We got to talk about it. Wearing masks. It's annoying. It's invasive. It's irritating. It may even be an example of government overreach. What right does a civil government have to require me to wear a mask in public places? Or even wear a seatbelt in my own car? Remember that fight in the 70s? Some of you who are maybe past the 50 mark. Government can't tell me what to do in my own car. That might even be overreach. History will help us to read these things better, but even if you're convinced, brothers and sisters, the government is guilty of overreach, here's the question, is the requirement to wear a mask is an Acts 5:29 issue. We must obey God rather than men. Does wearing a mask put you against the law of Christ? Does it put you in disobedience to God? I don't think so. At least not when you consider the wise and helpful exemptions that are included. We need to learn to distinguish, brothers and sisters, at a time like this between biblical limits of authority, Acts 5:29 issues, and our own personal limits when we're dealing with things like what we might feel are government overreach. And that's natural for governments in a fallen world, is overreach. It happens all the time. Brothers, we urge everyone to come to worship, even if for some reason you are not able to mask, please. And also, if you're offended by some who aren't masked, please. Christ is more important than all of that. But it is important to learn to distinguish between biblical limits of authority, Acts 5:29 issues, and our own personal limits. We do not want to fall into an anti-authority mode that is destructive. It lives in me. Maybe it lives in you. Now, what should concern us much more is when the government forbids public worship. That gets us into Acts 5:29 territory. Christ commands us to gather, to come, and to meet in person, and his commands are higher than any government. Now, we may honor the civil government's right to request the church not to worship for a short while they work with the health department to evaluate exactly what a virus is made of and what it can do, and even to protect hospitals from overload. Churches rightly honor that. For the Lord's sake, the Lord does grant merciful allowances in obedience to his law. Think about Moses in the days of the Lord in the days of Hezekiah, permitting the Passover to be delayed 1 month. It was required to be held here. He said delay it 1 month because the people aren't ready. Think of God requiring people with infectious diseases to be quarantined in the Old Testament until the infection was healed, even though it was a command to gather. Think about the Lord permitting David and his men to eat the holy showbread in extreme circumstances, even though the law required only the priests eat it. The Lord does grant merciful allowances in obeying his law. But once that emergency moment is passed, is it right to obey an edict to prevent public worship ad nauseum just to try to prevent any sickness at all? That's what our brothers and sisters in California, Uganda, and many places around the world are facing right now, and we must pray for them that the Lord will give them wisdom and that he'll give the government understanding in these matters. The ministry of the church is an essential service, and the call to assemble is the will of Jesus for his people. And we should not rule out the possibility that there may come a time when a church is called to obey God rather than men. Thirdly, this commandment holds great blessing for all society, and especially for the people of God. It will go well for you. You will live long in the land. People fight these promises. Believe them, brothers and sisters, they're God's word. Life will go well for you. You will live long in the land, and that especially refers to in the land of Israel or in the kingdom of Christ, enjoying generations of faithfulness to God, of life in the church. Life will go well for you. Your relationships will be blessed. You will know the fruit of humility and peace. You'll be a peacemaker. You will also know when it's time to take a stand, which also makes for blessing and true freedom in your life, though it may be painful at the time. It does not mean life will go well for you. You'll have no suffering or pain and everything will be easy street. That is not true. But in your relationships with God and man, you will flourish. You will have good reputation. You'll be blessed. Well, submission to God-given authority brings big blessings. Despising authority brings big troubles. And D. James Kennedy, once pastor of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, PCA, in Florida, put it this way in his book on the Ten Commandments. I've been a pastor for 42 years. I've seen a number of people fired from their jobs for legitimate reasons. But as I look back over them, I see that poor job performance was rarely the reason. In most cases, the problem was one of attitude. Attitude against authority. Why? Because they never learned to respect authority at home. Why has my life been so miserable, they ask. Why do I have trouble in so many different areas? Because they've never learned to honor their father and their mother. So they have no respect for any type of authority and ultimately ruin their own lives and will ruin a nation if that fills up a generation. So despising authority in your life brings never-ending conflict at home, work, school, church. Every relationship is broken. It often ends up imprisonment or an early death. And it especially wrecks your relationship with God, the ultimate dad and ruler of your life. You won't live long in the kingdom then. But honoring and respecting authority will bring much well-being into your life. And all your relationships at home, at work, at school, in the church, and in society. And especially in your relationship with God. As you learn to love and obey His word, knowing that His will alone is good for you, even when you don't exactly like what the Lord is requiring of you, when it doesn't feel comfortable to obey Him, to say, but the Lord knows what's best for me, and I'll honor His word. When keeping the Sabbath day holy closes the door on a really good job, honor the Lord's command. As Eric Little said, or Liddell, those who honor Him, He will honor, quoting 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. Well, brothers and sisters, this commandment draws us to the Lord's table. What is your obedience quotient? How is your spirit, your inner spirit, when it comes to obeying, honoring those in authority? It can be a struggle, especially when we know the failures, the overreach of the ones in authority. Let's ask for the Holy Spirit to help us with humility and wisdom. When the going gets tough, may He guide us through the pathway of obedience and remember to rest always in the perfect obedience of Christ, because our obedience, as we said this morning, is never all the way. And our surrender and submission are never total. Only Jesus' perfection can cover our rebellion in the sight of God. Trust in Him. See Him hanging from the cross for your rebellion. And then His perfection is put on your record. He surrendered totally, and that covers your imperfect surrender. He died for rebels to pay for all our rebellion, every rebellious thought, word, and deed. And in Him, God forgives all your imperfect obedience and all those runaway feelings. So trust in Him, and He'll replace your guilty record with a perfectly righteous record, and he'll replace a rebellious heart with a loving, humble, faithful, obedient one in the Spirit's power. May God be praised. Amen.